This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, third hour of the program, boys and girls. Glad to have you on board. This is the HD show, filling in for The Bench. Glad to have you guys here. John, Lance on vacation. Henry and I have been doing this for a hot minute. All right, we got into a little Texans talk. Three things we like, three things we didn't like. John called us earlier in the program to point out that there's a difference between the Bengals and the Bangles. The Bengals being the terrible football team that plays in Cincinnati, and the Bengals being a Or am I saying it backwards? Bengals.
The Bengals. Bengals are a tiger.
Yes.
And the Bengals are the
80s rock band.
Yeah. Or Manic Monday. Written by Prince.
Who did the cover better? Them doing Manic Monday or our girl Sinead doing Nothing Compares to You?
Oh, Sinead. Of course.
Sinead hit it. She dropped it like it's hot. Sinead went off. All right, let's get into the NFL playoff picture. Coming into focus a lot more after yesterday. All right, we got the we got the Kansas City Chiefs. They clinched the number one seed yesterday. Didn't look great yesterday against the Atlanta Falcons. Pat Mahomes looked very normal-ish for pretty much the entire game, and then all of a sudden decided to, in Pat Mahomes fashion, wake up and went on a drive in the last drive. Scores a touchdown, and, of course, they were benefited by a missed field goal at the very end that would have sent the game into overtime, and as a result, the Chiefs hold on for a 17-14 win yesterday. Henry, I go back to they've won 23, I think, out of 24 games, 22 out of 23, 23 out of 24, somewhere in there. They haven't lost. They've lost, two games in a little over a year. The Raiders game, then, of course, last year to the Tennessee Titans, I think it was like in week 9, and have been on a roll ever since. I get it on one hand. I mean, we murdered the Steelers because they were barely winning games. And then, of course, they came back in a big way yesterday. When you look at what the Chiefs are doing, when you look at the fact that, they're beating damn near everybody in front of them. Do you take much solace in the fact that, you know, teams like the Carolina Panthers, teams like the Atlanta Falcons, teams that they should be beating the brakes off of, and I say should be, or is it just that, hey, listen, those teams that they're playing have professionals on them that get paid too and are trying to win games?
Well, we're speaking about Kansas City. They can score at will. They do, you know, chunk. They get chunk plays all the time. Almost every series, they're doing something big like that. So it's only human nature to get a little, we'll get them. Really? That play there? Okay. Guys, come on. We're going to do this. I mean, there was a time when I was with Minnesota Vikings. Our front four, we didn't care what you were doing. We're going to go out there and stop you. And you better not throw the ball because we're beating your quarterback up. That was back when you could actually hit them.
Right.
You know, build their character. And I think a lot of time that's what or the way Kansas City feels. Okay, we were hoping the defense stop. And it's not just on one side of the ball, because I've seen their defense step up and stop people when they were, you know, let's say we're not going to get the ball back, we got to stop them, and they just step up and slap them down. So it's the whole team that have that mentality of we're going to get this done no matter what. We'd like to make it pretty, but if it's got to be ugly, we can fight ugly.
No, they've certainly done that. Now, of course, yesterday you had no Clyde Edwards-Helaire yesterday, so you found a way to win that. I didn't think Le'Veon Bell looked great. Of course, he left with a tweaked ankle. And so he was kind of like, it was more of a running back by committee situation yesterday. But again, Pat Mahomes did not look great. 24 of 44, 278 yards. Of course, he was good when he needed him to at the very end. Pittsburgh Steelers, huge win yesterday. Took care of business. They were down to the Indianapolis Colts. They rallied. They ended up winning 28-24. Big Ben looking like Big Ben. The Big Ben that we've come used to know, accustomed to, I guess, rather, would be the better way to put it. And that was an important game for them yesterday, simply because for them to start off 11-0, win, lose three straight the way they had, and just look very mediocre. And not just look mediocre, but just look anemic from an offensive standpoint. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger looked like he literally aged in front of our eyes over the last 3 weeks. Just made terrible throws, had no mustard on his throws whatsoever. And then, of course, we find out yesterday, and Henry, I'm a huge fan of these stories that come out, especially on game days, that sort of try to alleviate what's going on or put a reasoning for why they're doing so poorly. But yesterday we find out that, oh, by the way, Big Ben hyperextended his knee in week 13, which, depending upon the severity of it, would kind of make sense if you look at the way he's thrown the ball over the last few weeks, that, hey, if this guy was playing with a bum knee, it certainly looked like it because, again, something was not right with Big Ben over the last 3 weeks. And yesterday they finally got some get right. Juju Smith-Schuster finally looked like the guy that you thought he was going to be a couple years ago. Deontay Johnson. I mean, again, they've got pieces on that Steeler offense. The defense finally decided to step up. I mean, again, without Bud Dupree, you got some run out of T.J. Watt yesterday. I still think you got a great secondary in Pittsburgh as well. But yesterday was definitely a get-right game for them. And to do it at home and do it over a team in the Colts, who are also a prospective playoff team as well.
Well, it was good to see Ben doing Ben things. But far as them being back, I mean, they didn't run the ball very well. And that's what you think of when you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What did they run for? I bet you they ran for less than 80 yards. Did they?
I'd have to look.
Okay, I'm just, you're always touching that machine, so I figured you had it right in front of you there.
Negative.
But they still got a lot to do, but they stepped up, got after Phillip Rivers, got him off his spot, got him really, really messed up. Well, I don't like that face. What'd they run for?
14 carries for 20 yards. Very Texan-like performance yesterday. And of course, Big Ben was 34 of 49 for 342.
Yeah, see, and you can't rely on that the whole way. You got to get a more balance in your game. And Pittsburgh has always been a balanced type team, where the runs and the passes complement each other, or the runs set up the passes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not if that's not the way, Big Ben's gonna get more than his knee hyperextended, because everybody's just gonna pin their ears back and come after him.
No, it's No, you're exactly right. And, of course, once the playoffs start, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, you look at right – I mean, but at the same time, too, though, I mean, let's call it what it is. All right? Chiefs, running game, I mean, it's okay. I mean,
it's Bell and
– you got Bell and you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but you don't know what you're going to get out of Clyde. I mean, Clyde is dealing with a high ankle sprain.
Right.
Now, granted, you're going to have a bye week, so they won't play in the playoffs again for another 2 weeks after this Sunday, so you don't know what you're going to get out of him. But again, Le'Veon Bell played okay yesterday before he went out with an ankle injury. Like you said, Steelers, they were atrocious yesterday running the ball. The Bills, haven't been great running the ball. I mean, there's been games where Josh Allen's been your leading rusher.
Right.
All right. So, again, there's no bellwether Cal there that you'd like to see. Titans, obviously, we know what they're able to do running the ball.
But they can't come from behind.
But they can't come from behind, right? I mean, that's the issue for them, is that, okay, once that – if that running game doesn't get going, okay, and they can't rely on that. I mean, again, their whole shtick is play action, right? Play action, and let's just run the ball. Let's just run it up the gut and just beat you down with Derrick Henry. Well, that's a great game plan if it was 1995.
Okay?
Because the problem is that, all right, and as you saw this season and as you saw last year in the AFC Championship game, there's going to be times when you need Ryan Tannehill and that passing game to look alive. And, of course, if Derrick Henry's not out there, then you know what they're going to do.
Right.
All right? And so that's the other part of it as well. And again, we had our boy Denard Walker on Saturday talking all things Tennessee Titans. And again, he mentioned it then. The issue with the Titans is when that team falls behind, there's just nothing about them that suggests they can come back. And we saw it last night. They got to within 19-14. Then the defense looked anemic, and Aaron Jones did whatever the hell he wanted to, even though you could have, you know, shame on your staff for not throwing the challenge flag or buzzing down there to say, hey, throw the challenge flag, because he clearly stepped out of bounds.
Right.
All right. And again, that's not to say they don't score, but at the very least, maybe they stop him to a field goal. Maybe you do stop him. Who knows? But it just felt like when the Titans scored that, excuse me, when the Packers went in and scored that touchdown, didn't have anything offensively to combat that, and then boom, you give it back to Aaron Rodgers. They score again, cancel Christmas, it's 33-14, your day's over.
And your secondary is a little weak because Aaron Rodgers looked unbelievable. I mean, he's been having an incredible year, but 4 incomplete passes?
No, he looked great. And you know what the one thing that stuck out to me as I was watching that game last night, the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans, watching Devontae Adams, is, you know, that team's very – it reminds me of the Texans last year when you only had DeAndre and you had DeAndre and Deshaun, but you still had a Will Fuller, even though, well, before he got hurt.
Right.
But my point is that, you know, it's amazing when you have a dynamite receiver like that, just how much different your offense is. And I get it, Deshaun's having a different year this year, but I just, again, it goes back to just kicking yourself and just speculating what could be, how much different this season would have been. And who knows if they're a playoff team with DeAndre Hopkins or not, but it just, when you see what Devontae Adams does and when you see what a difference having a playmaking, elite, all-world receiver does for your offense.
Absolutely.
Okay, because you saw it on display last night. All right, coming up next, we'll put a bow on the playoff talk. We'll take a look at the NFC as to what they're looking like, what they're shaping up for Week 17, as well as what the rest of the NFL did yesterday, plus the number one pick has been locked up. Now will he go there? Lots more to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's The Bench on ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John B., dropping it like it's hot.
Yes, he does.
That's it. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear on a Monday morning. John and Lance out today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. So if you don't know, now you know. Henry Thomas, Fred Davis, John B., here with you all morning long. Well, actually, just till 11. We're here all week, though, Monday through Thursday.
We're here till Thursday.
We are wrapping up your 20-20. The last thing you'll hear, well, actually, you'll hear other things, but the last morning of 2020, you'll hear Freddie D, JB, and HD.
There you go. Soak it up, people.
Just take it for what it is. Get your minds right. Just absorb it. Are we expecting one more calamity before the year's over? I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
It's 4 days.
I was going to say, how many days we got? 4?
Yeah.
A lot can happen in
Plenty
4 days.
A lot can happen in 4 days. There's no question about it. I mean, come on, man. You had a bomb go off in Nashville.
In Nashville, yeah.
They found that dude. Is he dead or are they looking for him?
I have no idea.
Well, they identified him. I think his name's Andrew Warner.
63-year-old guy.
Why are you pointing at me?
I'm just saying.
Why are you pointing at me? Because he's a white guy?
Was he a white guy? I don't know.
He's a white. Oh, like you didn't know.
I didn't know.
You didn't know.
I assumed.
So you smiled, said 63-year-old guy, and then pointed at me.
I wanted you to fill it in.
While you said it. Why? Because only white people blow things up?
No. We can blow stuff up.
In downtowns they do.
Yeah. I'm just saying. We can blow things
Have
up.
Have we figured out a motive yet? 713-38. Getting ready to get my phone number out. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. No good. No bueno. And it was just so eerie the way it all went down. He had the countdown going on. He had the Walter White RV going on that they parked downtown, and then just
didn't want to hurt anybody. Just wanted to see some devastation.
I guess so. And they shut down, shut down communications. I think for most of the weekend in downtown Nashville. So
I tell you what, looking at the videos of that explosion, it's amazing that nobody died in that.
It really is.
To his credit, he did give you 15 minutes.
He gave you 15 minutes.
And you got to think 5 minutes of it is you saying, that's a bunch of. And then
five minutes is people walking around going, what is that? Like, what? Like, think about it. We've been so desensitized to it, right? I mean, we've been so desensitized that the bomb goes off Christmas morning, and I see it on my trending Twitter stories. I'm like, you kind of scroll through, see what else is up there and see if they've got any new news. And then you just hope they find them. Time to open presents.
Yeah, it was.
Saints and Vikings on this afternoon.
Yeah, it was that kind of feel to it.
Really, that was it.
And you wonder all the time how, people survive through things like that. And we are in the same era of saying, because the coverage was very minimal.
Oh, it was non-existent.
I mean, someone had to tell me, did you hear about the Tennessee bomb? And I was like, what? I had to go, but not,
Well, and kudos to the six cops. There were six Nashville cops that went around in light of this, I guess while this was going down, and were, telling people to evacuate.
Yeah.
Knocking on doors, get the hell out of here.
Come on, let's go. Get your stuff.
That's it.
Grab your ish and let's go.
Grab your ish and go, because we ain't playing.
No, not the suitcase, ladies. Yeah. This is what you can carry. Come on, let's go.
That bag that you got in your hand, because there's a bomb outside.
About to blow.
And if it does, I mean, that's one of the things where you just don't play with it.
Well, and didn't they say somebody looked inside and saw it?
Oh, hey, listen.
If you look inside an RV.
It was a white dude.
Oh, no. You want,
what the heck's in there? What is that?
Why is this making that noise here?
Should someone alert the authorities? Look, I could swear that's a bomb inside.
Now, I'm just saying, somebody saw it and then look into the RV and see.
Take a picture of this for me and the gram. Can somebody take a picture of this for me and the gram before it goes off?
Wow.
Make sure the sound's on, please. Okay.
Can you hear the tick-tocking? That is...
Get in good.
Wow.
Tick. Get in good.
It was glad nobody died.
Absolutely. No. We're not. It's a much serious issue. It's a serious issue, but it's obviously we're not laughing about it if people die.
Right.
We're not.
Okay.
We're not.
I was waiting on it.
I promise. We're not.
Yeah.
We're not. Let's go out to tell the interns. When they answer a phone call, we got to put where they're at. We got to know.
We would love to
what
know.
Part of H-Town is Gilbert from? Like we had John.
I know where Gilbert's from. He's a regular caller, so we
you know where Gilbert's from.
He's from the barrio. It's one of my boys right there. I know it. I bet you any money that's Gilbert.
Gilbert from
that's
the barrio.
Gilbert, all right.
Hey, Gilbert, what's happening?
Where John at this week?
Have you not been?
Hello?
You're
on vacation.
Did you just wake up?
No, I didn't wake up. Where's John at?
John ain't here.
Like, where's he at? Like, right now?
At this very
moment? Yeah, he's on vacation.
John is on vacation. That's correct. Yes, John is is out.
What about the Texans this week? Are they going to beat the Texans Titans or not?
Gilbert, they will not beat the Titans. No, sir.
They're not. It's not going to happen. We sipping on scissor this early?
John, what are you doing right now? Are you just rolling out of an RV? What are you doing? You sound a little tired.
No, I'm okay.
Okay. All right. Well, John, I appreciate you calling in. Or excuse me, Gilbert. I appreciate
you
calling in.
We love that you called in. We Thanks for the phone call.
Gilbert's a regular caller on the morning show here.
That's what I
see. I mean, I listen, I'm down with that.
I'm sorry he didn't know. He regular, huh?
Sound like he might have been on tape delay.
He and John have what seems like a special relationship.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Oh, hey, listen, I'm all for special phone calls. I'm all for
it. It ain't that special. He know he wasn't here. He didn't know that. What John?
That's Gilbert, not, we've been saying literally at the top of every hour so far of the show that John and Lance are out this week.
Well, now he knows.
Now Gilbert knows.
And he knows the Texans not going to win.
He knows. That's right. I mean, I tell you what, I want to hear from the caller that thinks the Texans are going to win on Sunday. That's who I want to hear from.
Oh.
Who? And don't sell me, I mean, don't give me any kind of, you know, win one for the Gipper speech. If somebody genuinely in their heart of hearts thinks the Texans are going to win this week on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans team that needs to win to clinch a division, I want to hear from you.
And they clinch a home game, right?
Well, they're division winners, so they automatically get a home game.
Okay.
Yeah, so they automatically get a home game. But yeah, I want to hear from this person. I want to hear from the person here in Houston or the surrounding area. Shout out to Beaumont, by the way. We got to give a shout out to our folks over in Big Money, Texas.
To the Mont.
Hey man, listen, my son was born in Beaumont, all right? So you know I got a special place in my heart for Big Money, Texas. All right. Shout out to my boy Talbert over there in Big Money as well. And everybody listening over on ESPN 97.5 in Big Money, Texas. Shout out to everybody listening to on 92.5 as well.
That's right.
That's the that's for all them folks on the west side that apparently weren't picking up the signal so great.
Right.
So now they know. And if you don't know, now you know. Right now, if you do know, here's what's going down this week. All right. You've got a Green Bay football team that is essentially in the driver's seat to wrap up the NFC.
I think you meant the Packers.
What'd I say?
Football team.
What?
You said the Green Bay football team.
Oh, the Green Bay football team.
It's the Bay Packers.
The Packers have not been declared racist, so we can use the Packer team. So yeah, the Green Bay Packers after the win last night. And again, just beat up on the Titans yesterday.
Yeah.
Just beat them up from top to bottom. So they look good yesterday. Saints, they look tough. Seattle did what they needed to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, don't sleep on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay, to me, is a scary, scary football team.
Okay.
I just think that with what you've seen out of Tom Brady, I think what he's finally and this too, shout out to our boy from Galveston, Mike Evans, who you could argue has had a very up and down NFL career so far.
Emotions.
I mean, we all know what he can do off. We know that he's got all the talent in the world, and he's a freak of nature. But the one thing about Mike Evans that's been somewhat consistent is the fact that he will take plays off. He will disappear, and he's kind of a moper, right? I mean,
yeah.
He's kind of a dude that will shut down, and I don't know how reliable he is. This year, same kind of MO, had some issues early on with Tom, and there were just plays where they just flat out missed each other. And then you pointed this out a few weeks back when they lost to the Chiefs, and Mike Evans once again was having a very underwhelming first half. In fact, just did not look like he was really engaged or in tune. Then you see in the second half, Tom Brady sitting there talking to him. He goes out and scores two touchdowns in that second half. Granted, they still lost, but he has been on a tear the last 3 weeks since that second half of the Chiefs. Okay.
Right.
Godwin's doing his thing. Antonio Brown's starting to look Antonio Brownish again. All right,
yep.
Leonard Fournette and that offense. And I thought that Vaughn kid was probably as explosive as anybody I've seen out of that Tampa Bay backfield. That defense we know can play.
Always.
Todd Bowles can dial up some defenses now. And why hasn't his name been thrown out as a potential head coach? Everybody wants to, you know, get all excited about homeboy from the Niners.
Right.
Hey, that Tampa Bay defense hadn't missed a beat as well. That's John Belmer. That's Henry Thomas. I'm Fred Davis. Coming up next, there's one decision that the Texans need to make when it comes to their head coaching position. I'll tell you who that is And if you want to doubt me, go for it. We'll take your calls on and more. Don't go anywhere. It is The Bench on ESPN
97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, in case you missed it, John and Lance out this week. ESPN 97.5, Houston, Texas, Fred Davis, Henry Thomas, John Belmer. Here for you all week long. How about them Cowboys? Huh? How about them Cowboys? How about my garbage fantasy team finally deciding to step up?
Are y'all in the playoffs?
No, we're not. That's just it. They decided that they wanted to play well when the playoffs started.
Did you have Alvin Kamara?
I did not. But I know a lot of folks did. And if they did, they're feeling pretty, pretty good about things. Shout out to Dave. I'll tell you what. David Montgomery had himself a night, you know, for all my fantasy nerds out there. All right. David Montgomery, who, if you held on to him, even though he was not great at the beginning of the year, last 4 or 5 weeks, dynamo.
I don't do fantasy football.
We know Henry Thomas because
I like Monkey Knife Fight. Now, that's some real fantasy stuff.
Aside from just a great name. And yeah. I mean, it is a great name because once I saw it, when I saw you were doing it, I was like, what is this?
Yes.
But it's a lot of fun. It's just a good time. It's a
good time. You know, you want to do a 6-player parlay, more or less.
That's it.
A lot of fun.
It's a living prop bet.
Exactly.
Correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, will this guy get this many yards? Will this guy get this many receptions?
Or this guy against that guy? By the way, we give that guy 50 more yards to start with.
So are you going to take who?
Yeah.
Exactly, that sort of thing.
It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I had to warm up to it because they took over my regular fantasy football. I don't think I ever go back to fantasy football. And, oh, you said you have a garbage team, right? Your fantasy football team?
I mean, I garbage team. I mean, yeah, we're right at 500. I mean, we won our last two games, but I mean, we finished the season 9-7. I mean, did we finish with a winning record? Yes, we did. Did we get to the playoffs? No, we didn't. You know, and is that ultimately the goal? A championship? Absolutely, it is.
Okay, I was just.
I mean, that's the goal every year: champions.
On one hand of the record, you do not. On the speech, you do.
What's that?
Sound like a GM.
Well, that's the whole point. That's what I was going for.
You have the GM thing, so your name's not going to be high on the list for GMs for the Texans.
Why is that?
Because of your record.
No, I've won a ring.
A ring?
I've won a ring, yes.
I've been doing this for like six years.
I was the, you know, for the longest time, I was the Marty Schottenheimer of fantasy football.
Oh, you were the commissioner then too, right?
Actually, okay, so this was my first 2 years being a commissioner.
Uh-huh.
First years ever that back-to-back I didn't make playoffs.
Oh, so there are some rigors in being up there.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like it. I don't like it. I like to just be able to control what I can control, do what I do, and you know, just focus on team building, Henry Thomas, because that's what I'm about. I'm about building teams. I've been reading what Jack Easterby does.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, how do I get that job? Like, if your whole gig is you're going to make sure guys have what they need, be that shoulder to cry on, all right, know where to dump the bodies, okay, know how to go Ray Donovan when you need to, so okay, hey, Fred, my side chick's blowing me up. Give me your number. I got you. Handle your business. I'll take care of this.
That's Easterby?
Sure sounds like it.
He don't take me as the Ray Donovan type.
Well, no. He's going to do it in a Joel Osteen type way. Listen, if you don't think Jack Easterby's got a hint of grime to him.
That's just the word I was about to use, yeah. Grime.
But here's the deal. Like, guys like me, like, you sense the grime. You know it's there. There's no, I can't cover it up.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Like, even if I'm cleaned up, there's still
hint of grime.
There's still residue.
Okay.
Jack Easterby is going to give you that
cleaned up version.
Yeah, but at the same time, but his grime comes from, you know, it's too good to be true.
Oh, it just oozes out late.
I'm all for people being religious, being spiritual, whatever you want, but I don't know. I just have a problem with it when you're using it for gain. Does that make sense?
No.
Like,
As you using it as a shield to hide what you really
not
are?
Necessarily to show. Well, there's people that do that. There's definitely people that do that. But I guess my thing is
all the religious people got some dirt on them. That's why they're religious.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like that's. I guess that's my point, right? Is that there's just this, you know, and I guess that's what the issue was with him is you know, you got all this grime, you got all this good natured that he's about. But at the same time, you look at the wreckage and you look at the wake that he's left, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, like, how did this guy? And again, the one line I go back to in that story from a couple weeks ago from the Sports Illustrated, where, and this is, I'd love to know how legitimate this line was, because you and I have talked about this. I had an issue with that piece. I really did. Not so much from the standpoint of, did I believe a lot of what was said about Jack Easterby? I mean, it doesn't surprise me per se, but at the same time, too, though, the fact that it was so just blatantly one-sided.
Okay.
Okay, like that story to me came from somebody that had an axe to grind against Jack Easterby.
Maybe that's just all he could come up with was the one-sidedness.
Well, I think I get it that, you know, they said they reached out to the Texans, but the issue I had was that they really didn't reach out to anybody. Like, you know, the line in there about how, dadgummit, the lady that's the head coach of South Carolina, Dawn Staley, right? So they're like, Dawn Staley raved about Jack Easterby.
Well, what did she rave?
We never heard from her.
We never heard
from Scott Pioli. All right, we had they took one token remark from Bill Belichick. All right, I mean, and that was the thing about it is like, okay, I get it. We don't like Jack Easterby here in Houston. He's got a very smarmy, Joel Osteen-ish, sporty vibe to him. Okay, like he's over here pissing on our leg, telling us it's raining, okay. When in reality he's over here trying to pull some what can he do to kiss enough ass to get to the GM spot or whatever position he was angling for.
Okay.
And we get all that. But at the same time, too, though, I mean, I, and again, maybe they just couldn't find anybody. But if you're going to name me people that like this guy or that he's done well with, I want to hear from those people.
Okay.
Because I want to hear, and again, to the point about where, one player thought his car was being followed by him. So he had a guy write down the license plate number. Okay, well, what happened with that? Did we find out that Jack Easterby indeed had people following? Or is this player tripping?
Yeah,
we never found out. So, again, that was my issue. Do I think Jack Easterby probably needs to go? Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah, we're cleaning house. We're starting over.
You have to.
You gotta.
You have to. And that
I don't even think of any coaches that's going to afford to sting around.
No, I mean, Tim Kelly's got to go. And God bless Tim Kelly. Now, the one thing you can say about Tim Kelly that he can feel good about is that more than likely he's going to latch on with another team.
Oh, he'll be working. Yeah. No problem.
Anthony Weaver, I wouldn't bring him on as a D coordinator anytime in the foreseeable future. I don't know that I tell you what, I don't know that I'd bring him on as a D line coach.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay. I mean, I just don't know. Okay. I mean, do we really think that DJ Reader wouldn't have gotten paid with or without Anthony Weaver?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, do we think that DJ Reader's a better D lineman because of Anthony Weaver?
No. There it is.
Okay. I mean, does this defense, at no time, we get that the defense has no talent. That we get. But when have you watched this team play and said to yourself, well, hey, at least that was a good scheme, or wow, they really drew that blitz up right. Or, okay, I hadn't seen them do this in a while. I mean, you could, you know, again, the old adage, making chicken salad out of chicken bleep. And that's when your team's this bad, that's what you have to do. Again, no one's expecting the Texans to be the 85 Bears. But I also expect you not to make Brandon Allen look like Josh Allen.
Okay.
And that's the issue I have with this team, is that you've taken crap all year long and you've made – I mean, you made Mitch Trubisky for a day look better than Deshaun Watson.
Well, here's the thing about that defensive calling and the defensive scheme that I notice week in and week out. They got a blitz dialed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting at home watching it. I was like, here comes the blitz. Guess who else says that? The quarterback.
Yeah.
And if the blitz is coming off the left, he calls a run play to the right, and they always gain 8, 12, 15 yards on that play.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time the blitz is coming, the quarterback can see it, just like I'm sitting at home seeing it. And I got an advantage. I can see the whole field from up top. But the quarterbacks that are in there can see it, call them out, change plays, and every time, it's just no reason to run the play if they're going to call it.
Right.
If he changes the play, our word till Peyton Manning messed it up was Omaha. I mean, go back to base defense.
Yeah.
You know, so change it, do something else. He hasn't done that. He hasn't figured that out. He's not going to be anybody's coordinator for quite a while.
No, he's certainly not. All right, when we return, there's one head coach and a GM candidate that I'm not sold on, and I'm not really sure why anybody else is either. We'll discuss that next. And your phone call, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Shout out to everybody on the Twitchosphere as well. John B. on the 1-2s.
And 3s.
That's my man Henry Thomas, and I am still that dude Freddie D. Don't go anywhere. This is the HD show version of The Bench on ESPN.
97.5.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lenny Kravitz. What do you think he's doing these days?
Chilling.
Whatever he wants.
He's on the island. He has this big compound where he has all his family and stuff like that.
Didn't Jeffrey Epstein have one of those too?
No, not the same.
Same, different deal.
Different deal.
Different deal. What's Jeffrey Epstein doing for 2021? Do we know? He's probably on that island, isn't he?
Don't think so.
You don't think he actually died, did you?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not that conspiracy.
Jeffrey, if you're listening, 713-780. How big of a get would that be if Jeffrey Epstein came on the show? If we got Jeffrey Epstein, because listen, you know I've been trying to get Tupac on for years.
They're both dead.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Dead.
You seen them dead?
Yeah, saw the bodies. Saw them on TV.
Oh, yeah?
Showed the bodies. They dead.
Huh.
That thing in the cell when he was just swinging.
I'm just saying.
I saw it.
I'm just saying. Hey, wait for Thursday, folks. Big announcement. Big announcement on Thursday.
Tune in on Thursday.
Tune in. Must listen radio. We've got a guest you're dying to hear, okay?
We're dying to hear.
Well, we're dying. Hell, he's dying to hear. He's dying to hear himself speak. I'm telling you right now. Big get. Big get if we get him. Speaking of big gets, let's go out to what are we calling the – what's the listener line these days? The HRLP? Is that what it is? It's the HRLP. That's an F? It's HRFP listener line.
I think it's HRMP.
HRNP?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay. I couldn't understand what that would be. Okay, so the HRNP listener line. It's the kind of stuff they don't tell you when you're supposed to come on these shows.
That's it.
All right, so let's jump out of the HRNP listener line. Welcome to the program.
Good
One fine Navy sailor. What's up, shipmate? Our man in New City, Mr. Lamont.
Nothing much, man, but you guys are talking about Anthony Weaver, and I just was thinking about, I think he'll be a head coach. Woo! I think he's going to end up being an NFL head coach.
Oh, because he's Mr. Ra-Ra?
I mean, think about it. I mean, think about it. He was a decent position coach, and then he was a sucky, a trash DC, and to me, that almost looked like Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel parlayed it into a head coaching job. Of course, guys, I'm being funny, man. But I just had thought about that. I was like, man, he on the same track as Mike Vrabel. But let's see how that worked out for him.
But wouldn't That's you argue, though, though, Lamont? But Lamont,
my bad.
Wouldn't you argue, though, that in fairness to Vrabel, he had at least some success from a position coaching standpoint? Like those linebackers, he had it. And you could argue Jadeveon Clowney had his best year ever under Vrabel.
But Butch Harlem also had some success on it as a D line coach.
Did he though?
I mean, that was part of the reason why he was promoted, right?
So I just figured he was promoted because they had to promote somebody. And I mean, I don't know that you could name anybody because you weren't gonna make the secondary guy your D coordinator.
Wait a minute. I just have to catch myself. I say that was part of the reason why he was promoted. And I got to think about it. This is Easterby and O'Brien making a hire, so he could have been promoted because I don't know, man. He could have been promoted because of anything. But the word I heard about the guy, and from what I've seen with the defensive line last year, it was okay. Like I said, fellas, I was only making a joke about the comparisons with him and Vrabel, and that they pretty much on the same track that Vrabel parlayed a. And I think Vrabel had a worse defense. He was a worse defensive coordinator than what you call him. I think Vrabel won like only two games.
They were 2-14 that year.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's a good.
I appreciate you, Lamont. Well, but here's what I would argue with that though. You know, the year they went 2-14. That was also the same year that Deshaun got hurt as well. Listen, we've already said it before, okay? And I've made this very clear. Why Deshaun Watson, he won't win the MVP. We all know that.
But he should be in the discussion.
Oh, he's top three. I'm sorry, he's top three. It's not even close. It is top three, and it's not even close. Because, again, and let me save all the Texan fans' arguments who like to say, if Pat Mahomes has all these guys that Deshaun doesn't. And I agree wholeheartedly. Let's also not forget, too, that a lot of those guys that the Chiefs have are guys they drafted, which tends to kind of get overlooked with a lot of these folks that want to, you know, point out that, oh, well, Mahomes has all these weapons. Okay, again, those are guys that the GM drafted. And granted, it may not be the GM that you got right now, Brent Veach, but at the same time, you know, you drafted the Hills, you drafted the Kelseys, all right? You drafted the Mecole Hardmans, you drafted DeMarcus Robinson,
exactly.
If I'm not mistaken. I think they got him, and he was a late-round pick, you know, the Brian Pringles of the Pringles of the world. So, you know, there's definitely something to be said for that. But, again, I can't stress enough when you look at, you know, I think somebody on Twitter made this point. Look at what Baker Mayfield did yesterday. Now, granted, he lost all four receivers the day of the game.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a little bit different deal than finding out the week of. I mean, we found out about Will Fuller on a Monday.
Yes.
All right. So you had the whole week going into it. All right, we got guys, we got to get ready.
Got to prepare.
Okay. Now you saw against the Bears how different it was when you take out. It goes to show, and I think if we've learned anything about, if COVID-19 has showed us anything about the National Football League, all right, there's a big difference between being on the active roster and being a practice squad player. Okay.
All right.
I mean, if we've learned anything about the National Football League is when you talk about depth and you talk about why you need to hit on those third, fourth, and fifth round picks, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, if you can make them become starters, hey, my hat's off to you because you're doing your job. But at the very least, if you can't get those third, fourth, fifth round picks, because first and second round guys, that's a given. If you're not hitting on those dudes to be starters and you're not doing your job, okay, then you suck as you're garbage. If you can't hit on at least third, fourth, fifth round guys, yeah, that'd be wonderful if you can hit on them to be starters. Then you're really, cooking with grease. But if you can't count on those guys to be backups, to provide depth, to be those guys when a Brandon Cooks or when a Will Fuller goes down, so you can have a guy step up to fill that void, that's an issue. And that's where you're seeing right now, because again, there's a reason why, let's call it what it is, most of your practice squad guys are undrafted free agents.
Right.
Okay? There's a reason why homeboy from the Denver, a month ago, comes off the practice squad to try to be a quarterback. Now, I get it. That was a different role. He was coming from being a wide receiver to a quarterback. But hell, he was small by wide receiver standards. I mean, he was tiny from an NFL standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay? Then you see these guys yesterday come
bigger
up.
Than Murray.
We'll get to him in just a second. we may not have enough time to get to him today. We might get to him tomorrow or Wednesday. But you see these guys coming off the practice squad and playing in NFL games, and you can, it's one of them deals where it's almost like a Where's Waldo. Yeah, you can tell who the practice squad guy is.
Yeah.
They're not as fast. They're not as strong. And they just look different. In a weird, jacked up way, they just look different.
You can just spot them like practice squad.
They're the kind of guys that you look at and you go, damn.
I could play.
10 years ago. That could have been me. That could have been me making 80 grr, just chilling on the weekends. But it does give you a different appreciation, I think, for what NFL players do and the preparation that goes into it. Because again, I don't think it's not another surprise why when you look at the teams that are playing well, they're veteran laced teams,
right?
And I tell you what, that's why I've been and we'll give our playoff predictions at the end of the week. That's why for me, a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is so scary, because that offense, granted, it's taken 16 weeks, but that offense is finally starting to get an identity. That offense is finally starting to, you're finally starting to see some familiarity between Tom Brady and the Mike Evans and the Chris Godwins, and then, dare I say, the Antonio Browns of the world.
Let me ask you a quick question about your scary Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes, sir.
Who's the backup quarterback? No, we're talking about veterans and depth and all. I just want to know if they had somebody back there behind Tom.
Well, that's a problem, but you could argue, who's the backup for the Seattle Seahawks?
Oh, I know that.
Who?
Hold on.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold
on a second. That's the one position in sports that when you lose them, you're pretty much screwed.
Didn't happen in Chicago.
What's that?
They lost it. Well, they didn't actually lose them. They benched him, running back and forth.
Yeah, and ask any fan, and you and I did the Believe in Bears podcast, ask any fan who feels, I mean, that's, okay, tell you, here's all you need to know about Chicago. Okay, here's all you need to know about Chicago. Chicago's on the verge of, if they beat Green Bay on Sunday, we'll go to the playoffs. All right. After, starting 5-1, then they lose 6 straight, then if they win 4 in a row to finish the year off. Mitch Trubisky probably gets re-signed. Now, you're not going to give him the farm by any means. Maybe you bring him back on a 1-year deal. That's what I would do. If Trubisky plays well, if Trubisky finds a way, and that team goes out and beats Green Bay on Sunday and gets into the playoffs, I'm bringing Trubisky back on a 1-year deal.
Who's to say he's going to take a 1-year deal?
I mean, why, you see another team giving him a fat contract?
Somebody's going to give him maybe not the farm, but maybe the barn.
No one's going to give him the barn off a 4-game stretch.
I'm telling you, if he wins against Green Bay, somebody's going to give him the barn.
Tell you what. Henry took a lot of hits to the head as a professional football player.
I was a
tell
hitter.
Tell you what. All right, last hour of the program, fraudulent or for real? Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback position heading into 2020, as well as the one guy for the Houston Texans that I'm still kind of scratching my head about as to why everybody's so enamored with him. Don't you go anywhere, John B. HTFT here on ESPN
97.5.
Get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, cause there is no way you're bound. Everyone falls down sometimes. But
you're listening to ESPN 97.5.